Praise be Jesus and Mary. Today we commemorate Saint Jerome, and let's begin with a short biography of his, just to situate him in his proper context. Saint Jerome was born in Dalmatia, which was a periphery of the Roman Empire at that time, and the time was 345 AD. At the age of around 16, 17, 18 maybe, he moved to Rome to continue his studies. He was drawn very much to studying. And in Rome, he learned much, and he was affected both in a good and in a bad way for the rest of his life, and we'll look at that in just a second. In Rome, he discovered Christianity. Not that he didn't know that it existed, but he experienced it more closely, and although he was initially afraid of it because there was some austerity involved and he was very much drawn to the pleasures of Rome, he nevertheless embraced it and was baptized in Rome. He made a vow of celibacy and withdrew for 4 years to a hermitage in the Syrian desert, lived there, studied, prayed, pursued sanctity and holiness above all, but also learning, and he was called back by the Holy Father from Syria to Rome, and he was commissioned with a task, that of revising the Latin translation of the scriptures from the original languages, and he dedicated himself to that work, and in fact it took 30 whole years to complete. The fruit of that is the so-called Vulgate translation of the Bible, so the Latin Vulgate is the work of Saint Jerome. He also wrote many other books, mostly commentaries on the scriptures, and particularly known for his defense of Our Lady's perpetual virginity against a heretic of that time who denied it. He died on the 30th of September of the year 420. Now, going back to what I mentioned before, in Rome, he was affected both in a good and in a bad way. In the good way, because he embraced the faith there. In a bad way, because before his conversion, he was drawn to the pleasures that abounded in Rome. Before he made up his mind to turn away from the sins, he seems to have turned to them for at least a short while. And even though he turned to them for a short while, he had to keep turning away from them for the rest of his life, because those images and sights and sounds and experiences that entered at that time forever remained with him and followed him wherever he went, in his mind, in his imagination, and in his memory. Even in the desert, even in Bethlehem, in a cave, these memories haunted him, and he had to keep turning away from them over and over again. He left many letters. His epistles, letters, are in fact classic Christian reading. And in one of his letters, he describes this is Epistle 22, the struggle that he bore within him for the rest of his life because of that short little period of time in Rome in which he seems to have let himself be drawn into the sins of the city. He struggled with it for the rest of his life. He writes, "How often when I was living in the desert, in the vast solitude, parched by a burning sun, how often did I fancy myself among the pleasures of Rome?" So again, in his imagination, all that he had once indulged in was with him even there. "Although in my fear of hell, I had consigned myself to this prison, of this cave, of this desert, where I had no companions but scorpions and wild beasts, I often found myself amid the bevies of girls. My face was pale and my frame chilled with fasting, yet my mind was burning with desire. And the fires of lust kept bubbling up before me when my flesh was as good as dead. Helpless, I cast myself at the feet of Jesus. I watered them with my tears. I wiped them with my hair. And then I subdued my rebellious body with weeks of abstinence. I remember how often I cried aloud all night till the break of day and ceased not from beating my breast till tranquility returned at the chiding of the Lord." The takeaway from this, you could put it this way, that although we turn to sin maybe only once, and then we repent of it, afterwards, we have to keep turning away from it for the rest of our life, because every sin has its consequences. It leaves behind it a mess, a disorder in our soul. First of all, the memory of sin, which forever will be a snare for the imagination, and then an inclination, and then a temptation, and then that disorder. Every sin leaves behind it a mess that we have to then work at cleaning up for the rest of our life. And our Lord allows this. Our Lord allows this. With sin, not everything is lost. Our Lord very, very willingly forgives. But yet then he allows us to expiate for each and every sin precisely by doing that. Maybe we turn to it once or just a few times, but then for a long time, maybe for the rest of our life, we have to keep turning away from it. Every time it resurfaces in our mind, in our imagination, every time we have to convert away from it. And that's hard penance. And for this reason, our Lord, which would much rather prevent us from falling into sin rather than forgive us after falling. Our Lord would much rather exercise his mercy in this most abundant way, by preserving us from falling into sin in the first place, rather than forgiving us afterwards. He will forgive us, of course, and not everything is lost. There are great penitents in the church who spent their life doing exactly that, turning away from their past sins. But I repeat, our Lord would much rather preserve us from all that and keep us in our state of innocence. Praised be Jesus and Mary, now and forever.